Well, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
And that's what I've been thinking about this week is what the new year holds and what we've seen in the past year and what to look forward to in the coming year and how to look forward to it is what where my thoughts have been. It's pretty obvious and apparent that we're going to see a lot of different things in 2022. There's absolutely no doubt about that. We've already seen a lot in 2021, and with all the sickness and different things that's going on with COVID, and then all of the political unrest and the foreign policy that has got the world topsy-turvy. I know that most of you are familiar with the tensions that's growing. Always have been tensions, but the tensions are now growing between Israel and Iran. And then you've got all of the tensions between Russia and their buildup on the Ukrainian border. You've got all of these different variables that's taking place. And it all takes shape to fulfill much of the Word of God in a larger framework that's built in Ezekiel 38 and 39 that was prophesied toward the end times. And I do want to make this statement. I'm making this statement just so that it's kind of out there. To take a look at the world we live in and then where we are in the timeline of the Word of God, to say that we're not living in the last days or in the book of Revelation would be a naive approach to life. So I was thinking about how do we approach life, and a very familiar verse of scripture came to my mind from Romans 12. And I'd ask you to turn there if you would. We're going to spend just a couple of minutes with a thought or two here from Romans 12. You know this passage well. Verses 1 and 2, it sets a standard. If you study through the book of Romans, Paul lays out this indictment against mankind. At the beginning of the book of Romans. In that indictment, he says this, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Paul lays out another indictment. He said, "There is none righteous, no, not one." And so Paul lays out this pattern of behavior of mankind. He further illustrates it in Ephesians 2, where he says that in time past, we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So there's three behavioral patterns set forth for mankind outside of Christ. Hear it again from Ephesians 2. It's in agreement with the principles of the first part of the book of Romans. Three main patterns of behavior. For we walked according to the course or the pattern of this world. In other words, we allow the world's culture to set the standard for how we live. We walk according to the prince of the power of the air. We know that that's a title given to Satan himself. So basically, if you can grasp this, everybody say I'm listening right now. Here's what I want you to grasp. It is from Satan that influences the cultures of the world. That's why you have the course of this world, the prince of the power of the air. What does that produce in us? We then become the children of disobedience. That's Ephesians 2. That is a picture of what we have outside of Christ. That's in agreement with Paul's indictment of the first part of the book of Romans. Then when you get later on into the book of Romans, into chapter 12, we have this familiar passage in verses 1 and 2, and here's what it says. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Let's go back just real quickly and consider that verse. I beseech you therefore, brethren. So Paul is issuing a message now to those that are part of the brotherhood of Christ. We are the brethren of Christ. And this is a mandate handed down in God's word to those that are part of the kingdom of God. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. So that's a word of passion. It's a call. I want to beseech you, brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. How ironic is that? To be dead but alive. I want you to present your bodies as though it were dead, a sacrifice unto God, that you may live out in your body the plan of God. That's what he said. So I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that's how we can attain that living and dead mentality. Paul says later on in his writings in Corinthians, he said, I die daily. So we're mandated to be dead. What are we to be dead to? We are to be dead to the course of this world, to the prince of the power of the air, and to the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We are to sacrifice life under the culture of this world, influenced by Satan, that produces disobedience to God. We're to lay that down in death so that we may live. We do that based on the power of the mercies of God. So he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And here's what a living sacrifice or a life with God looks like. He says, if you do that, that you will be holy, you will be acceptable unto God. So holiness and acceptability. That's a huge word, to be accepted. It's a huge emotional word, to be accepted by anyone, but especially to be accepted by God based off of his mercy. Therefore, watch this. Listen, to be accepted by God has nothing to do with what you do. It has everything to do with his mercy being showered upon you. So a living sacrifice produces a manifestation out of your body of holiness. It'll produce a manifestation out of your body, a life that looks like it is acceptable unto God. And the scriptures describes that in the next line of that verse as your reasonable service. That's not even a, this is a big deal. This is just a very reasonable thing that Paul is requiring. Then in verse 2, he talks about a little more of how you do that. And that's what sparked my thoughts. Here's what he says in verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove or give evidence to what is good, what is acceptable, and what is the perfect will of God. There's so many terms in that verse. The biggest terms, naturally, you'll draw your attention to would be the term conformity and then the term transformation. And that's what I begin to think about concerning the coming year. How do we respond in 2022? Well, let me tell you, there's only two types of responses. There is a response from those that have been transformed and a response from those that are not transformed. I started thinking about the transformation process. Now, to be conformed means to follow after the same pattern. And he said, don't be conformed to this world. And when you look at the word world in the original language, it describes the term age, which implies culture. Don't follow after the same pattern of the culture set by this world system. Again, I refer back to Ephesians 2, that we should not walk according to the course of this world or the cultures that this world deems to be acceptable. This could carry the principle of culture or the system in which life is living. When you get to the term transformation, I want you to understand something that I think has been misunderstood. Transformation, in this sense and in the context of this verse, carries more than just the depth of the simplicity of salvation. It's deeper than that.
Yes.
The transformation process does not just include salvation. I'm reminded of something that a conversation I had years ago with somebody that was in the church in Statesville where we was at. Here's what he said to me. He said, look, he said, preacher, I don't know a whole lot about the Bible. He said, now I've been saved for years. Already that is an indictment. Do you know what I'm saying? If you've been saved for years, your life should be a life rich in the understanding of God's Word. This person said to me, he said, I've been saved for years. He said, I don't know a whole lot about the Bible. He said, all I know is I'm saved, and that's basically all I want to know. Now, I got to tell you, that does not describe a life of transformation. Yet, that is the mindset, I think, that is occurring in the church everywhere. As long as I know I'm saved and I'm going to heaven, I don't really care a whole lot about anything else. God will take care of the rest. Can I tell you that is not what the Bible teaches? Neither is that the transformation process. The term "be not conformed to this world, but be transformed" talks about a state of being, a change at the essence of who you are. That's transformation. It would be something that accompanies salvation in order to give strength to overcome conformity to the world's culture. There is no way that you cannot be conformed to this world without the state of transformation taking place. And look at how it says transformation takes place in that verse. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed how? By the renewing, that is the renovating. Can you grab that process? To buy an old house and go in and renovate it. Think of that. That's the process that's supposed to take place in the mind in order for transformation to take place. In other words, your mind is being renovated back to an original point. Now, we're not going to have time to delve into all this, but grab a hold of this for me. When God created man, he created man in his image, did he not?
He did.
Did you know that right now, most people use, they say, I'm going by medical science here, they say most people use about 10% of their brain. 90% has been lost. Colt Bass, he only uses about 7%. But, you know, there's others that just use a smaller percentage of their brain. Mark, he's barely on the Richter scale, 1 or 2%. But, you know. But they say we use about 10%, but that's not how we were created. Adam and Eve used 100% of their brain, of their creative ability in their brain. Can you imagine being in the Garden of Eden and having all 100% of your mind in the perfection of the creative ability of God? And yet with that kind of a mind, the concept of disobeying God still found its way there. Why? Because God gave man choice. You've heard me say this before. It's a foundational element to understanding a lot of things. Choice represents the key element of perfection. Without choice, man could not be perfect. You have to choose perfection. I learned this years ago in my own life. Do you know you can't make somebody love you?
You cannot.
They have to choose that. That's why we say love is a choice. You can force someone to hang out with you, but you can't force them to love you. That's a choice. Love is a choice. Perfection is a choice. Man had to be presented with choice. And when choice came in and choice was used for sin or for flaw in man, man lost his mind. Y'all following me so far? As a result of the loss of our mind, God said that we must restore man through transformation, not through learning. Thank God it wasn't through learning. We don't necessarily learn God. Can I tell you, you can't necessarily learn the Bible. You must experience the Bible. It has to be an experiential knowledge that transforms the being. The term transformation here is the Greek, that comes from the Greek word, it gives us the word metamorphosis. So a metamorphosis occurs as our mind is renovated. Paul talks about that in Ephesians, where he talks about that our eyes have been enlightened. And we now come into the knowledge of the truth. See, it's all right here. You've heard me talk about this before. Where does Satan attack us? It's right here. Casting down what? Imaginations. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. So the transformation process is the renewal of the mind. Now, what does this have to do with 2022 and how we respond? I want to offer this to you. Did you know that psychology is the study of human behavior? But it's much more than that. Psychology teaches principles to people on how to deal with past failures, past tragedies, past problems that is affecting you in your today. That's what psychology is about. And it is the human form of godlike transformation. Now watch, I'm not anti-psychology, so please don't rush to that conclusion. But I got to tell you what has happened in times that we've lived in. People have taken psychology, sprinkled some verses of scripture on it like salt or pepper, and they've called it Christian psychology, but it's void of the power of God. It is void of the true power of the Spirit of God. Is it an exact science? Not necessarily. In other words, one person may respond to a past tragedy different than another person will. So it cannot be an exact science across the board. But what psychology does is it goes back into your past to try to rectify, help you deal or cope with things that happened in your life that has, in their eyes, made you what you are today. Now I want to show you what transformation does. And I'm just going to offer the idea, and then we're going to close out. Listen to me. Transformation makes you an I am Christian. When you delve deep into the transforming power of the Spirit of God, you become a today believer. Here's how God deals with your past. He throws it in the sea of forgetfulness and tells you to forget it. Therefore, it has no bondage on you.
Yeah, thank the Lord.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, from the course of this world, they teach you to go back and deal with that somehow, to face it down, so that it has no effect on you in your today. Hear me. Humans do not have the capacity or the brain power to do that. That can only be done through God.
Right.
Let me tell you what else transformation does. It releases you of the worry of your tomorrows.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Boast not thyself of tomorrow, thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. If you're richly engaged in the transforming power of God, we can face 2022 with absolutely no fear.
Amen.
Amen.
A transformed believer is going to live in the power of today. Listen, if I, I wish I could. Well, let me just do this one. Romans 7, Paul has this great line in Romans 7. He says this at the end of Romans 7. He says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Such a big verse. Here's what that verse indicates. In Roman days, one of the punishments and penalties for criminals was they would strap a dead corpse on their back, and they'd have to walk around with that dead person strapped to them. Paul's giving this idea, this same analogy, to the Christian. He says, when you don't walk in the transforming power of God and live in your today, you are going back to the tomb and you're getting your old dead man and strapping it to yourself and walking around with it. Now, it plays into the behavior tendencies of people that want to pay for their sin. Can I declare something for you? I had to learn this the hard way, still learning it. You cannot pay for your sin. Not one of them. Therefore, all we can do is trust in the transforming power of the Holy Spirit been given to us by the mercies of God, that we are free from our past and no longer in fear of our future. Therefore, we can live today. Amen. Now, let me tell you something. In 2022, if we don't live that way, you'll be a slave to fear. Or you'll be a slave to regret. You'll be a slave to what you think is about to happen. Or you'll be a slave to what has already happened. Your behavior today will tell the story of if you are truly an I am Christian. Made in the image of God, God told Moses. Moses said, "Who do I say sent me?" And God said, "You tell them I am." Not I was. Not even I will be. Even though we know he's the one that was and is to come. Because in the past, he was the great I am. In the today, he's the great I am. In our tomorrows, he's still going to be the great I am. So Jesus taught us this in the principles of the kingdom. Take no thought for your life, what you shall put on or what you shall eat. Tomorrow will take care of tomorrow. Live today.
Yes. Amen. Good word.
That's how we have to live in 2022. That's what it's down to. That's why I say there is a separation coming. There's a dividing line coming. There's going to be people that, listen, those that have just a shallow existence with the things of God, it's going to be filled, their life will be filled with stress, anxiety, fear. All of those characteristics that attaches itself to the course of this world and the prince of the power of the air, they're going to feel that and experience that. But a transformed life, one that lives in the I am of God, they're going to enjoy the provision, the power, the anointing of the presence of a holy God. In 2022. If your perspective is out of kilter, I'm not sure how you'll fare in the days to come. There's a blessed hope that lies within me of my tomorrows, and in my tomorrows I can see that Jesus is going to come back in the middle of the air and I'm going to rise to meet him. I enjoy contemplating that thought. I've had dreams about that thought. I really have. It absolutely, I can promise you, every day I say, "Lord, it sure would be good if you just decide to come on back today." I would love that. But can I tell you, when he comes back, you know when he's going to come back? He's going to come back in your today, not your yesterday.
That's right.
And can I tell you this? Even though in my tomorrows that may happen, it could also happen in my today. Before the sun goes down on this day, I could be in the middle of the air with the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
And the transformation process will then be completed, and all 98% of my brain that I ain't using It's going to be transformed into the likeness of God. And I'll have full knowledge of all that God has for me. Watch. And until that day goes, there's a work going on in my mind. It's a renovating work. Filled with the thoughts of God. Filled, if you could hear me, with the understanding of His Word. Filled with the knowledge of His ways. And through that renovation process, I am able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God for me in my today.
Yeah.
Be an I am Christian. Be a today believer. Leave your yesterdays at the cross. Forget those things that are behind. Live in the moment of today and make today the day of your salvation. There's all kinds of things I was going to talk about today. Today, the Bible says, if you'll harden not your heart, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. That I am thing is huge all the way through the Word of God. Not just in the Old Testament. Jesus said this, I am the way. It's a present tense way. I am the life. I am the truth. I am the door. I am the bread. I am the water of life. It's all in your today. Did you know you can be transformed from one state of being into another state of being today? And as you walk out of here, your entire mind can begin a renovating process of understanding what you cannot even articulate. Truth that finds its way into the resources of who you are and the essence of who you are that you can't even put words to, but you know it's true. From the person of God. That's transformation. So my challenge in 2022 is make us an I am believer. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. Teach us truth we'll never forget. Transform us by the complete renovation of our mind, the renewal of our mind. May we forget those things that are behind. May our past never hold bondage over us again. May our tomorrows not produce fear, for let us trust you with our tomorrows and let us live in this day an I am life. And Lord Jesus, if today is the day you come back for us, even so come Lord Jesus. We love you. In Jesus' name.